Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast.
Originally founded in 2010, as two champs and a chum, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and the world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community.
This is Season 12 of the White Book Podcast.
Hi, I'm Aaron. This is Props and Slops. Will is here. Roy is ignoring us because he has more important things to do.
Ooh.
Truer things have never been said.
Truer words have never been spoken. At least say it right.
I don't care.
They let you teach.
They do.
Paraphrasing's a thing. Come on.
Roy's worried about us putting this podcast into the citation machine, and then he gets in all sorts of trouble.
I have put way stupider shit on the internet than this podcast, but if people want to spend time to find, they definitely could. So,
if anyone
wants, it's fine if we just cite our sources, right? Come on,
I don't plagiarize.
Then we just get to have the fight over which citation scheme to use.
MLA, because I'm an English teacher. Good man.
MLA is an abomination of source citations. So.
Oh, I swear, you're one of those APA folks.
Why would I have strong opinions about this? Who cares?
Because I'm a historian, and historians
are you though?
Can
we just agree on that?
Ouch! That was a very mean thing to say, Aaron. But that was actually extremely hurtful.
Definitely did not
trigger my insecurities.
I cite you as my historian friend.
That's good. But Turabians or AKA Chicago is the superior form of citation. Ugh. So it's fine.
Chicago can go straight to hell because the Chicago school screwed everything else up.
I
petitioned professors in other courses to let me use, or sorry, in other departments to let me use MLA on their papers. I'm like, I'm an English major. Please don't make me learn a different system that sucks. And they were like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, because it doesn't super freaking matter as long as
it really doesn't at the end of the day, particularly at the high school level. As long as kids are properly citing their sources, it doesn't really matter. On an academic level, it's much easier to track down people's sources and where they got their information from with Chicago than with MLA.
But I don't want you to find my sources. I'm just citing Ben Shapiro all the time.
Wow, we just learned.
I mean, the sources are made up anyway. Like, they're cited, but they don't exist.
That's true.
I mean, I've definitely never done that. You can't prove.
Agreed. I have never made that.
In the lessons teaching my kids citations, I had fun making up books and book titles, and all the page numbers were page 420 and such things that I need to amuse myself.
It's a really good thing that Will has things to do after this podcast because we discuss citations for the first 10 minutes.
No,
and literally even Sam Whitehead has finally quit on this podcast.
I doubt it.
This is our catchy banter. Folks love the hook before we get into what we watched, read, and played.
I'm sure they do.
And much like Blues Traveler, the hook has no meaning.
Oh.
Ouch, the Blues
I feel like Aaron's giving me the runaround here.
Nice, but no, that's the meaning of the song The Hook. The point of the song The Hook is that it has no meaning.
Like the song that never ends.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on, my friend.
Oh, God.
Some people started singing it.
Not knowing that it was.
The song that never ends. Sort of like the White Book /2C1C podcast.
The podcast that never ends.
7,000 episodes. About what? Oh,
I don't know. It's just an excuse for me to have a scheduled time to talk with friends. Otherwise, it'll never happen.
Because you won't come play Magic with us every night like a degenerate.
Exactly.
I tried to hang up with my wife and she just gave me a dirty look and went to sleep. I was like, Clemens was like, so that means you can just keep playing. Right? I was like, yes, obviously. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to play till one in the, again.
I mean, Magic messed me up on Monday.
And Tuesday for me.
Anyway,
let's get going then.
Okay.
Lupin.
So Lupin is a Netflix series that's originally French. It's available both in English and actually properly dubbed. They spent money to properly dub it as well into English. So you can watch in either language. It is, of course, based on the French popular character Arsène Lupin, who, if you are a fan, of course, of the anime Lupin the Third, that was also inspired by the Lupin stories, or, of course, the Persona and Persona 5 for Joker is inspired by...
But I haven't got that far.
Yes, it's literally your opening Arsène. It is literally your opening Lupin? Persona. Yes, cool. That's Lupin, yes. Anyways, he's the gentleman thief. It's the progenitor of that archetype, and this is an updating of that story that's also inspired by the fictional character. It's very good if you like kind of PG-13 plus fun crime dramas, then, because it's definitely not dark, not really. There's like a couple of moments, but it's definitely something that's like PG-13 plus. It's really enjoyable. A couple of the episodes are particularly the pilot, and then there's an episode where breaks out of a prison that is very good. There's two like really, really well done episodes. And the first part is fully available on Netflix. The second part is coming out sometime this year because they were filmed in France at the same time. So I would highly recommend it if that's your kind of thing, kind of like, say, medium stressful crime fiction that's fun.
I will need to check this out.
I think you and Chris are playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. How many episodes is it?
Six.
Okay, it's very short, even
very short. That they're like 45 minutes. Oh yeah, I did it in a day. Like I woke up and I was like, I'm gonna watch this, and did it and enjoyed it. And it's very well cast. The actors are all really good, particularly the man who plays Lupin, he's the one who played Bishop in Days of Future Past. At the beginning, he gets killed.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's why I don't remember. I was like,
I actually looked him up. I was like, this guy looks vaguely familiar. And then he played Bishop. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
I actually think you convinced me to watch Lupin. Congratulations. It's very rare. I mean, not that like Bishop. I watch what you guys talk about. No, I usually just like, I'm like, I can start a new show or I can watch the same show for the 50th.
I mean, I'm the same way. I started watching Daredevil again.
Nice. I'm gonna start 30 Rock with my wife. I'm not sure why we haven't, because she adores Tina Fey.
You've gotta watch 30 Rock. Yeah,
30 Rock should just great. Watch
it. It is fantastic. I've seen it. It's fantastic. But like, she never has,
particularly the first four seasons, up to when they write Elizabeth. What's her name? Who plays Jack's wife? Elizabeth. When they write her off in the that storyline, the show kind of goes off the rails with that. But up to that point, it's really, really good. It's the hardest I've laughed at a TV show with some of those episodes.
Because you have no taste and don't love Scrubs. Hey, what's Rebels?
Oh, man. I'm glad you brought up Scrubs again. I didn't want to put it on the list, but Kristen and I started rewatching this week. And it's still great.
It's just so the last season is much more inconsistent than I remember it. But even the last season has like three like all-timer incredible episodes. The Steak Night episode is just unreal.
It's been so long. Honestly, I don't think I've rewatched it in like a decade or something. So
I won't spoil it. Just tell me as you hit all the high point episodes and I will happily talk with you about them until I die.
Okay. Sounds good.
There's only two high point episodes in season one, fair warning. Like, they're all good, but there's two, like, all-timer episodes in season one.
Okay. I will give you a heads up then as I hit them, and we'll see if the high point episodes in my determination are the correct ones.
I mean, let's find out.
Yeah. Okay, so you were trying to kick us over to Rebels then. Is that Star Wars Rebels?
But yeah, I started Star Wars Rebels. I have not gotten far. I really enjoy it. It's more like kid-centric early on. I'm only like halfway through season one. It's more kid-centric than was Clone Wars, but it's a really fun cartoon. So if you have a kid or just really love Star Wars, I strongly recommend it. Like, it's very good.
Does Noah like it?
Noah has not watched Star Wars yet. Noah loves Baby Yoda, and whenever we try and watch Star Wars, he's like, but where's Baby Yoda? And like, I can't show him Mandalorian because he'll never sleep again.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how to navigate this. We'll get there at some point. Like, we watched we started Batman the Brave and the Bold yesterday because like, it's on Disney, HBO Max. And
HBO Max, yeah.
Batman the Brave and Bold is a phenomenal show. Just, I'll prop that, even though it's not.
No, it's got, and you've got Batman the Animated Series for him, but that might be too dark.
He's way too young for him. He's not even five. He's five in another month.
Might be another year.
But, we watched Brave and the Bold, and like episode two or three has Gentleman Ghost, and he woke up with nightmares because of Gentleman Ghost.
Oh, wow. Oh, so, you know, like, you could show some young of those. Man, he might still again be too young for the Spider-Man show that we grew up on, the 90s Marvel.
I never liked that.
Oh, wow. That one was nothing compared to the X-Men. The 90s that, X-Men was
well, so the 90s X-Men was also good, but that's definitely too dark for a five-year-old.
Yeah, well, 90s X-Men was incredible. The 90s Spider-Man, like, I don't know why X-Men worked for me. I guess because X-Men was always more soap opera to me, and I know Spider-Man was soap opera, but, like, Spider-Man was getting married and everything was working out when I was this kid Spider-Man fan, right? Like, things weren't Peter Parker terrible.
Well, like, wait a minute, like, that's not true. You were a kid through most of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, but that was before the cartoon. After the cartoon.
I guess it was after. I thought it was contemporaneous with the cartoon. Now I have to look it up. Keep talking.
In that general vicinity, but like, I was not reading the Clone Wars. I was a giant X-Men fan. I read occasional Spider-Man, but like, Spider-Man was very adventure hero-y. It felt like to me at that time, and the cartoon was very melodrama-y, and it didn't really work. Also, the whole no punching anyone, like, in all the fights were weird and awkward, and it didn't work as well.
Because they were contemporaneous with each other.
Okay.
Clone Saga was 95 to 96. Let me go back. 94 to 96. And this started in 94, the Spider-Man.
Okay. So, wow, almost exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, apparently, whatever. Early on, I was not reading, like, up-to-date comics, I guess. But I did not get into it.
I loved all that shit. X-Men, Spider-Man.
Fantastic. I adored X-Men. So the other thing I don't really love, which is around that time, is I love Batman the Animated Series, but I did not love Superman the Animated Series.
I do think I liked Batman more than Superman, but the Superman one wasn't bad. I think it just took a little longer to kind of hit its stride. Like,
yeah, it was very
inconsistent. It needs a different tone than Batman, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
The Superman the Animated Series comics are incredible. Unfortunately, they gave us Mark Millar, but the Superman the Animated Series comics are incredible.
Lots of other things gave us Mark Millar. So,
well, no, that was his first like major work. It got him like in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. It's more like, I mean, considering what the relationship is like today, it was also Grant Morrison's sponsorship that really got him pushed it. But anyway, I agree. The Superman Animated Series is very, very inconsistent, and there's some real highs. But also some like real low lows. And honestly, of that era, the era between sort of the end of the original Batman the Animated Series and Justice League, that kind of like mediocre era, because I also don't like when the new inventions of Batman and Robin very much.
I don't like it as much, but I think it's still fine.
It's got like, are there any like really outstanding episodes? And they reboot a lot of the character development, particularly of the villains in that. And like, I don't know. Is the crossover movie between Batman and Superman is one of the best.
That is excellent. Yeah.
Batman and Superman stories that's ever been put up.
I mean, Batman and Superman, well done as friends, is fantastic. Batman and Superman as enemies for anything more than a scene is stupid.
Well, they could be kind of like, that movie handles it well, right? Like, they're rivals for a little bit. I think there's one fight between Batman and Superman.
There's one, but rivals and enemies are not the same thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like, Batman and Superman, like, they're both supposed to be way too reasonable to not just be like, hi.
Right.
Right? Like,
Or at least Superman is. And like, if Batman's trying to hit him, that shouldn't really bug Superman too much.
Yeah.
He's Superman. Okay, we're far afield. Yeah,
we are. But let's go back to Rebels for a sec, just so I can say that I too prop Rebels. It is a phenomenal show. And that initial like two-parter premiere, you know, when taken together, I think feels just like a Star Wars movie to me, like what I want in the pacing and the big heroic moment and like the internal conflicts and stuff. That kind of encapsulates the best that Rebel does. But it is not the only time it does that. It does that many times throughout its run. It's really good.
So, I mean, it's so far, it's basically Aladdin, but in space, and then he has a crew. And I'm all for it.
Aladdin, but in space.
Yeah.
He's the diamond in the rough who gets the magic powers, and he steals from the bad guys who are the government, and like it all works out.
Okay, about Kanan or Ezra?
Ezra.
Ezra. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kanan, I guess, is the genie in that.
Yeah. Region? Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like it's through a Star Wars lens, but it's the same basic concept, and it really works. Other thing, Roy got me started playing Final Fantasy XII, which I haven't got far in, and.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I keep hearing that is basically Star Wars, but Final Fantasy.
It is, yes.
Like, I'm pretty excited about getting further in that.
I mean, it becomes really obvious once a certain major character comes in. I don't want to spoil it, but...
I mean, you can... I don't give a...
It'll be... once... How do you say his name? Balthier? Yeah, comes on. You're like, oh, okay. Okay.
So I like the game, but, like... It's not magic right now, and I don't have time for things that aren't like being obsessed with this set of magic. I don't like doing a lot of a thing and not knowing it well, so I'm working on a level of expertise on that magic. And then I'll go back to having other hobbies.
Yeah. I mean, I have very, very, very mixed feelings about 12. But
I've strangely never played it. I own it, but haven't played it yet.
I own so many RPGs I haven't played. Uh-huh. It is completely absurd. I just want to get back to Persona 5. And, like, again, that's still not magic. So, yep. Like, I don't know what to say. Like,
ooh, Persona 5 Strikers comes out this month. Ooh, when does that come out? Persona.
Very soon. All right. While Roy Googles, let's do WandaVision. Let's start WandaVision.
Wait, you're talking about WandaVision?
We can start it. We can start it while you Google.
Yeah.
WandaVision is great. They unraveled most of the mystery, but I like it.
Have they? I don't feel like they have yet. Obviously, listeners, we've always said we're a spoiler-full show here, so be prepared.
23rd sweet second paycheck.
I still think there is a villain, a hidden villain pulling the strings that is
100%. If they didn't end the last episode with the words "it's all Wanda," I would have been like, "Oh, it is going to be all Wanda." But halfway through the show, they're like, "Oh, it's all Wanda's fault." Then it's not going to be all Wanda's fault, right?
Yeah,
because you've got to subvert expectations. Now, who is doing it, or to what extent is it Wanda's fault, is going to be something I'm sure they explore.
I mean, it's Mephisto or it's Loki,
or no, it's not Loki because Loki is dead in but that continuity, and he's doing other things. Like he's not being Loki. It could be Nightmare is the other one.
Possibly Pandemonium, I saw in some other theories.
I mean, they're Mephisto, they're all the same fucking thing.
That's fair. Demonic.
What's the one that was in Doctor Strange whose name I can never pronounce?
Dormammu.
Dormammu was defeated soundly. I'm good with Dormammu for now.
Yeah, I mean, he sucks. He's a cool name, but like the more you have him around.
Yeah, he has to be a very rare. I don't want it to just be Mephisto. I would be much happier if it was Loki and this was something that carried over like three or four movies.
He's already got his own series coming.
Yeah, it leads into that. He doesn't have to be the villain, right? Like this could be a step.
But I mean, like MCU Loki is not really the kind of Loki who would do something specifically like this, right? Like all of the like various Loki things that we've seen, it's not really this kind of thing. Like, definitely the comics Loki would do something like this. I mean, but don't necessarily think that movie Loki would.
We were promised a Luke Skywalker level cameo.
Yes. I have a non-spoiler guess of who that is. and I mean, it's probably Strange, pretty obvious, right? Yeah, to people who care a lot about the comics. It's gonna be Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I feel like Loki is way cooler for that. Like, it could be Strange.
I mean, I feel like Loki could show up and help Wanda. That I think is like, could definitely happen, but I don't think they're going to set him up.
I think you're underestimating how villainous he is until, like, the last movie.
I mean,
until the last two movies, I guess.
I mean, he's not that villainous.
Even in Thor 2, yeah, that's the first one where we really, I think, start digging harder.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not villainous. I'm saying that, like, with Wanda's mind and creating alternate realities is like not what Loki did in any of the movies that he was the bad guy. Avengers.
I mean,
or
he did mind control Wanda stuff. I don't think he's trying to create alternate realities. I would not be surprised if this is a side effect from something Loki did.
No, obviously the end point of like what is being done is for the children, right? Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like they keep repeating that type of thing. So whoever is pulling these strings is doing it because they have some plan for the children, which to me speaks much more of somebody like Mephisto than Loki.
I mean, yeah. And like Mephisto is tied specifically to this style story.
He's so boring.
I agree. Well, also I just can't imagine Marvel just doing the devil as like a villain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems weird for movie Marvel to be like, the literal devil is going. When we didn't do Crossbone Skull Mask because China bans movies with devils and skulls. So like that's why I think if they're going to do that route, they're going to just go Nightmare, who's basically the devil, but, you know, doesn't technically have any of that lineage, but it could be Mephisto. Like, I think that there's a lot of cameos that could be besides Strange. I like the idea of Loki showing up at the end and helping Wanda or having something to do with it, because that will set up his show pretty well. It could be Quicksilver comes back. It could be, what's his name, the actor who plays
Quicksilver. I really hope it's not Quicksilver.
The actor that plays who?
Quicksilver, in Marvel. Not the Fox
movie,
the
one in Marvel. I don't recall his name either, but just when Aaron said something, I didn't know if you mentioned a different character at first.
Yeah, it could be Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, because he and Scarlet Witch have a really, you know, close bond in the movies that they've appeared in, and that was like a storyline that was set up in Age of Ultron, paid off in Avengers, and paid off in Avengers Ultron, paid off in Civil War, and paid off in Endgame. So,
brilliant! I know what it is. They're bringing it full circle. They are acknowledging Cloak and Dagger in this, and this is all going to be despair.
Okay. Or it could be Ian McKellen as Magneto. I've seen people throw out there, and I'm like...
I mean, that would be the one thing we've said that's a Luke Skywalker-level reveal. Like, Jeremy Renner is not a Luke Skywalker-level reveal, right? Like,
yeah. I agree.
So I mean, actual MCU, who is really Luke Skywalker level reveal? Just Loki, Iron Man, and Cap, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm going Loki, right? Like, it's not going to be Iron Man or Cap. So my assumption was functionally Loki. Like, he didn't do this on purpose. When he jumped reality, he messed everything up, which is what happened.
That could be it.
Happens here and ends up being dealt with in Multiverse of Madness.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, it could be. I think, but here's the thing. I mean, it will be interesting. Like, I assume this next week is going to be full of, it's a longer episode. It's like closer to 40 minutes from like what Disney Plus has released. So we'll see what it is. And like, because the big thing here, right, is it's also set up that like, I think the next few episodes are going to be more about Vision than they are going to be about Wanda.
Yeah,
I think that's
the pieces together.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a random weird question?
Sure.
I mean, I don't. This is the type of minutia I don't pay attention to. The stone Loki ran off with isn't the same stone that ended up in Vision's head, is it?
Correct. No, it's the space stone. It's the he ran off with the cosmic cube, and the cosmic cube in the movies is the space stone.
Okay.
So we can teleport time and space. Not mess with mine. The Mind Stone. Where did they get them? Oh, they got the Mind Stone from the Avengers movie.
Right.
Like, it was in the crate that Tony had. So, yeah.
And he was using it to control people's mind in Avengers, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole major plot point. That I knew. I just wasn't sure if that ended up on Asgard. People who kept track of that stones, I was very proud of, because, like, I'm not following the MacGuffins. Just tell me when they come together. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Here's a thought for you on the Vision front. Horrible thought that I saw people posting about. So here's the question about Vision in the show right now, because we got that beat where Wanda sees dead Vision, right? Mm-hmm. But some folks I was reading pointed out, I guess, he has that off kind of purple-gray coloring even when he walks in the door before Wanda looks at him. So did Wanda just have a mental flashback then for a second and remember that Vision is dead, and that was the visual representation for us, the viewers? Or is that how Vision normally looks, unless she is remembering to put up the illusion that he's alive, in which case, like, he's a reanimated corpse, which is all the more horrifying.
My assumption was functionally that she is literally bringing him back to life. I don't think he's just an image. I think she has, like, I think she has actually brought him back to life.
I think
he's a zombie, but
I think he will be alive by the end of this. But at the moment, I'm not sure if he is or. He has more volition than anything else, but I'm not entirely convinced that she isn't reanimating a corpse.
I don't think she's reanimating his corpse. I wouldn't be like, it's one of those things that I'm on the side of, I don't think she is, but I wouldn't be like so shocked if that's the direction they go. But it's like, that's a little it's like even more macabre than I think they're going to go. Like, and also, like, they released a trailer, the mid-season trailer, and where, like, kind of Vision is like pushing out of the thing, and it's like there's like weird special effects, and it looks like it's just like, I think she like recreated Vision would be what I did, but like in her little world, but that was just her remembering that he's dead thanks to Monica/Geraldine. But by the way, the beginning of that episode was amazing.
It was
amazing. Yeah. And apparently Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to explore a lot of that stuff too. So I'm actually am pretty excited about sort of seeing what they were going to do. Cause like, I kind of like Far From Home made me think that they were just going to kind of like ignore how weird it was that people were gone for 5 years. But it looks like the TV shows at the very least are using it as a really important plot point, which I think is really cool.
Which is really handy. I don't know that you have the time in the blockbuster films to get hung up on that. I think you kind of have to hand wave it, but it is good that we're going to get shows delving into it more.
I appreciated the jokes at Far From Home about it. Don't get me wrong. There was some very funny humor, but yeah, I would say WandaVision is my current favorite TV show. Like, I will probably duck out of work after I'm done with my student office hours and watch the episode in the morning. So, like, I'm excited. I'm like, if I was still in my early 20s, I'd stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning and watch it right when it goes on Disney Plus.
Wow.
I did that for Daredevil. And that wasn't even in my early mid 20s. Because I was 30 or 28 when Daredevil came out.
28 when Daredevil came out?
So, I mean, Daredevil, the first season came out in like 2014.
You're maybe that young?
I'm 35.
Man, I'm 40. I ain't got time for this shit. Let's keep going. What is Family Reunion?
Family Reunion, I'm gonna give some props to. It's a new newish Netflix sitcom. It's Tia Mowry's latest vehicle. And of course, some folks know we were watching Sister Sister a while back, so we tried this one out, and I love it. It's just like nails that 90s sitcom vibe to me that I grew up on. So it's just TV comfort food, basically. It's about a family from Seattle, the dad, Moses, was a pro football player who winds up retiring and moving with his whole big family back to his small rural hometown in Georgia. And they move in with his parents and just all the standard sitcom tropes from there. But it's just been really enjoyable and has a lot of heart to it. So if you also like that sitcom vibe, I highly recommend it.
Cool. I think it's the book is the only one for me or left. That's Redemption's Blade. I'll talk about it real quick.
You? Yeah. What's yeah. that?
It is a fantasy novel. I'm about, I think, a fourth or a third of the way through it. And it is set in a fantasy universe immediately after the great Dark Lord is defeated. So it's about sort of the aftermath of a Lord of the Rings video game kind of victory where the main character, she is one of the heroes that slew the great Dark Lord. And she is trying to find her purpose in life and help the world rebuild. And while also kind of like dealing with the idea that all of these like orc-like creatures have been brought by this Dark Lord and all this kind of other stuff. And she's trying to take responsibility for that. And so she's traveling, trying to help one people who were devastated by the Dark Lord sort of regain their place in society. And her little like party of friends are orcs, or this fantasy equivalent. Basically, if it was Lord of the Rings, they'd be orcs, right? They're monstrous followers of the Dark Lord who are trying to seek some place in this new world, and everyone mistrusts them and all kinds of stuff. And it's very interesting. Like, it's got some really cool themes and good action and solid characters without being too heady. In my old, I guess I'm not as old as Glazer, but my old, young middle age, I have very little patience for highly philosophical fantasy and science fiction. And so it doesn't quite do that. And but it's still definitely a little bit deeper than you would find in a lot of other novels. So it strikes the right balance for me. And the main character, she's really compelling. So I definitely recommend it if you're into that kind of stuff.
Okay. I always need more fantasy stuff to read. The trick is just scaring up the time to read it.
Fair.
If you don't play Magic every night, I'm not sure why you don't have time.
I mean, definitely staying up way too late to play Magic is definitely one of the reasons why I have not made as much progress in this as I may have wanted. So, yeah. Video games?
Video games. So, I played and beat LEGO Marvel Super Heroes with Noah. And we are a few stages into LEGO Marvel's The Avengers. LEGO Marvel Superheroes is delightful and it's very fun. And if you like superheroes and deep cut stuff, like all the side mission-y stuff is great. There's like a full open New York City to explore and like a bunch of side questy stuff to get like well over 100 superheroes. It's very fun. LEGO Marvel The Avengers, you play through various movie scenes and stuff, and it is so cool. It is so much smoother. If you like the movies, like, at all, hi, friends, I strongly urge that you play it. It's not hard. It's LEGO Marvel. It's a LEGO game, right? But, like, it is just so well done and silly fun. Like, I fully plan once I, like, you know, stop playing Magic every night, to make Carla play it with me because I think she'll love it too. Like, it's very hard for me to imagine someone not enjoying the Avengers games if you like the movie.
Okay. I've never actually gotten into the LEGO games, though I've picked up several when they've been on, you know, massive Xbox discounts and such. And I always hear that they're really a blast.
Yeah. I didn't like LEGO Harry Potter. I really, really loved LEGO Star Wars like a decade ago. And you guys would like LEGO Star Wars, but
Avengers... I didn't really like the LEGO Star Wars games.
Really? Why?
Yeah. They're just like grindy to get everything you wanted. And like, I'm not.
Oh, to get everything you want. That's fair. Yeah. The Marvel games are not grindy to get things. You basically just have to do little side missions. And like, they're not terribly difficult. It's like, go on a race or like, run over here and find someone's lost monkey. Like, it's just silly. But yeah, the Avengers ones are fantastic. I really did like the Star Wars ones, which did require some more grinding for money. And the LEGO
Marvel superheroes actually had almost 100%, like probably a decade ago before I met Carla for sure, on PS3. So like, and then like I stopped playing games for a while and forgot it existed and then played it with Noah. But like the game is absolutely excellent. And like it's come a long way. I think the Avengers game, like even playing that after Lego Marvel Superheroes, it was a much, much, much smoother, more comfortable, more fun experience. It knew how to switch characters more quickly. Like it was just smart. It was really good. It is really good. Also, I have the disc, so if either of you two want it once Noah and I beat the crap out of it, you're more than welcome to it.
I'll think about it.
On which platform would I miss?
PS4.
Okay, I cannot play it then.
I mean, maybe you should be nicer to Staten. I don't know what to tell you.
Probably so. It's not like I don't talk to that guy literally every day.
Do you? I talk to him like 4 times a week. He sent me the video earlier, and now that I said his name, I realized I didn't watch it. It was a trailer for something he apparently thinks I would enjoy watching on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for Black Judas?
Yes, for Black Judas. I don't know what that is. I didn't watch it yet. I was, like, driving home from work, and I was barely keeping my eyes open, so I got home and crashed and then forgot about it until, like, now.
Small correction. It's Judas and the Black Messiah. There we go.
That's okay, that.
Correct title.
I don't know what it is, but that dude usually has good taste, so I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
His props matter.
Nice. I'm glad someone's due.
All right. Hey, hey. Roy sold me on Lupin earlier.
It's true. I did.
That's true. That's true.
And like you guys have sold me on things before through the show. Don't ask me to remember what. We've been doing this way too long, and there's a pandemic, so I don't have a memory. But like I've definitely done things based on the show. Fire Pro World is a wrestling game. It's on Steam and PS4. If you are a nerd and enjoy wrestling, like you can basically go in and download everyone throughout history and play, and it plays like a 2D old school wrestling game, almost like a No Mercy type N64 wrestling game, and it's just fantastic. And like it's on sale often, and I wish more people would buy it because it's super fun. They added a move creator so you can do every weird thing in the world, and like people have. So uh-huh. It's just super fun and super cool. And if you like wrestling at all, you should definitely check it out.
I've never gotten into wrestling for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, it's largely terrible unless you know exactly what you're watching. Like, it's one of those things you either started watching when you're 6 or you think is stupid forever.
Ah, yeah.
Very true. Absolutely true.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into a whole spiel about it. I could, but let's not. Let's instead move to Trails of Cold Steel 4.
I've talked about this game a lot because I absolutely, completely, and totally love the Trails series, particularly Cold Steel series. It is a fine ending to the series. Do not play it if you have not played any of the previous games. Definitely do not. You will not understand at all. But it's very much, if you've played the previous Tales games, it is very much sort of the Avengers endgame of that series. So like all the protagonists of the previous ones, including the games that were not released in the United States, appear. So I highly recommend it, but I highly recommend that at the very least you start with Cold Steel 1 if you don't want to play an older style Japanese RPG that Trails of the Sky is. But if you can put up with some of the more elements of Trails in the Sky that haven't aged well, then definitely play it. Like if you like RPGs from Japan from the circa 2008 to 2013 range.
So I don't know if that's accurate. You also have to like a certain type of anime.
Right? That's true.
Oh.
Like it's very much like a there's a word for it that I don't have in my vocabulary.
Like
a shonen type anime. Like it's got a very like My Hero Academia or Dragon Ball or Naruto or whatever, like that silly like vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean like I think so, like, if you're a person who plays JRPGs made in the 21st century, you have to at least have a tolerance for that style of anime because like those storytelling tropes have like dominated the genre that aren't Final Fantasy games, and Final Fantasy games have been pretty influenced by them too.
Like, I don't know if that's, I don't know if I actually believe that. Like, the Personas and the Fire Emblem, sure, but like the biggest non like major RPG of the last few years, I don't think that's true of. I can't think of the name, with the Switch one with the like job system, Octopath. Like, I don't think Octopath is especially shown.
Octopath wasn't one of the. I'm just more thinking the Trails series. That's another giant one. So anime, like unbelievably anime.
Trails is what we're talking about.
Not Trails. I'm sorry.
Tales. Yeah, Tales of has been anime since the 90s, though.
Yes, but I'm with you. Like, I'm not like, saying that there are nothing, but I'd say a majority.
I don't know. I think it's closer to 50-50. Like, I don't know if Like a Dragon is super anime. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, a lot of the most recent ones. Like, Dragon Quest has always had an... is weird because I think Dragon Quest influenced anime more than anime influenced Dragon Quest. So I'm not sure how to, like...
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Right. I'm not sure how to, like, quantify...
I think early Dragon Quest influenced that stuff, but then later Dragon Quest are influenced by the stuff that was influenced by Dragon Quest, is the best way to put it, I'd say.
I mean, it's still the same creator, and it's still, like, Toriyama, right? Like, it's... I don't know. Dragon Quest is its own beast. It's a shame that, like, I realized... total aside. I stopped playing 11 when I realized every time I think of loading it, there's only like two or three songs when you're like exploring the world or dungeons, and they get really obnoxious and repetitive, and I can start hearing the music when I think of loading it up, and so I never do.
That's fair.
What are you gonna do? If Trails in the Sky still worked on my computer, I was completely in love with it when I ran over my computer and broke it, and the new computer refuses to run it. I've tried 50 things. And like,
is it not on the Switch? They haven't
ported it. It's not. Trails in the Sky. So it's a different, so two different companies own like different halves of even Trails of Cold Steel, which is why only Trails of Cold Steel 3 is on Switch, not 1 or 2. And like all the older stuff is still like relegated to Steam and old PlayStation systems. I can get it on like the PS4. I don't want to. Like, I may just suck it up and watch a big summary of Trails.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. Like, if you want to start with Cold Steel, like, it's not hard.
No, I really loved Sky. Like, it was really
good. Sky is really good. Like, I'm not throwing shade at Sky. It's just, like, to me, Sky is just old at this point on a gameplay level. Like, yeah, there's just, like, so many quality of life improvements.
Yeah, but I like old games. Like, there's an element, like, remember, I spent last year, I beat, like, Final Fantasy IX and Dragon Quest V, right? Like,
I know.
Old is not a thing that's going to be like, ooh, I don't want to play that JRPG.
I know.
So, like, JRPGs are meant to feel a little old to me. Except for Persona 5 Royal, which is ridiculously slick and smooth. All right. Also, have you watched the Trails in the Sky anime?
There's a Sky anime? No, I have not.
It's apparently based on SC, so I've strongly considered watching it.
No, I have not.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No,
I think it's on Netflix.
Huh. I'll have to check it out. No, but I have not. I will definitely have to check it out, though.
Seeing if it's on anime. It's an OVA, apparently.
Oh, okay, so it's a movie. Okay.
I thought it was a series. I guess I'm wrong. Yeah, it's on YouTube, either which way. Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Hey, Slay the Spire, that really cool card game that I like a lot. I've been screwing around with on the Switch, like, to distract myself here and there. It's an amazing little card game roguelike. It's now out on Android.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's $10. I bought it today.
I did not realize that. I'm going to have to get that.
Yeah, for $10, like, I haven't loaded it up yet because I literally, there was a snow day Monday and Tuesday, so days of the week are funky this week. Wait a minute. But it's out.
I just searched for Slay the Spire, like, the full name.
I had to scroll down for some reason. It was there.
Huh. All right.
Like, well,
I'll do more digging when we're not, like...
It is.
Yeah, it's way down.
Yeah, I don't understand why the game that I searched is one of the later searches.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to nab that. I've heard nothing but good stuff, and it seems like the perfect game to have to play on my phone.
Exactly. Like, I stopped playing it as much because I was like, I gotta stop using my Switch for this. But on my phone, like, that's, it's the perfect thing to do for like 40 minutes as I get tired before bed.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, good call. Thanks for that heads up.
No prob.
See, people's props are good for something.
I mean, we have to at least pretend, otherwise why are we doing this? Oh, right. We'd rather
talk to each other. We're trying to influence our listeners.
Oh, listeners. Right, Sam.
Yeah. Listener. Sorry, listener.
Yeah. What's warmer in the winter?
That is me shamelessly pubbing my Kickstarter again. By the time this episode airs, hopefully tomorrow on the 5th, possibly the 6th, depending on how editing goes, I will be launching in a little under a week. It will go live on February 11th. If you want to go ahead and follow it on Kickstarter so you're notified when it's launched, you can do that at bit.ly/warmerRPG. Just make sure you capitalize the RPG. That is case sensitive. Now, what it is, aside from a Kickstarter I'm running, is an RPG zine. So kind of a smaller, shorter black and white book, or at least one color is the restriction on the zine quest event that Kickstarter is running to organize a lot of these small, short Kickstarters all at the same time. And Warmer in the Winter is a powered by the apocalypse RPG, so tabletop game, pen and paper, that style. Powered by the Apocalypse runs a ton of other games that folks might have heard of course, Apocalypse World, Dungeon World, Masks, Monster Hearts, Girl Underground. There's piles and piles of them. It's a very popular system. And what it does is it's really good at evoking specific genres, right? So like one game is available called Monster of the Week, which is essentially just supernatural, right? That type of thing. Girl Underground evokes like Labyrinth and Alice in Wonderland and that style. So Warmer in the Winter, what is that generating in play? Hallmark Christmas romance movies. Granted, Lifetime and Netflix have gone in pretty hard on making those two lately, but still.
Netflix in particular.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that's the general spiel. It also works well for similar kind of romantic dramedies like Good Witch or Gilmore Girls. And I think it could be lots of fun. Check it out on the page when it launches, and you can find out more. I won't regale you with all the mechanics here on this show.
Cool. I will back your thing. So,
thanks.
And Will, since he is so pretty, agrees to send everyone who backs it, should it succeed, an autographed picture of himself.
I don't. That's actually kind of tempting. I really was actually even still earlier today kind of kicking around some of the extras I may or may not offer. I've kept them very minimal so far.
I mean, if it breaks $1 million, that picture will be shirtless, Will.
I guaranteed. Wow. If it breaks $1 million, I would be happy to do that.
Knowing Will, Will would call this his only friends account, not his only fans account. Oh, man, I'm so glad. I thought of that joke today, and I was like, I gotta use that at some point. And I'm glad I was able to use it here.
The opportunity presented itself.
So.
That's good. That's good.
Does that joke put us in the danger zone?
Oh, I think it gets really close. Yeah.
It must, for Kristen is waiting.